Blog Talk Radio.
Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the...
A certain individual that all the crap was going on and turmoil and all this slamming of me and all this other stuff, this one individual of one of these teams that turned their back on me decided to message me the other day and ask me for contact information of a couple locations that we investigated in a town around here. And I'm like, are you really kidding me? You turn your back on me, but then you want me to help you get into some locations? Not happening.
Right.
Not happening. I don't roll that way.
Right.
If you want to get into some locations, do what I did. Start from scratch. I didn't have anybody give me contact information on these locations. I went out and got them. So
yeah.
Don't be,
you know what? I just don't even release my stuff anymore of where I'm going and what I'm doing. You know, like location, I just put out a name like private hospital or, you know, like I just went to a poor farm. I'm not telling anybody where the hell is that, you know?
Yeah.
Go find it yourself. I'm not throwing anybody bones anymore, man. No more bones.
I know, right? You know, I told this individual, hey, why don't you try calling the city? That's what I did. You know,
right?
I mean,
yeah.
That's how you do it. You know, I'm not going to give out these individuals that got me into these locations, I'm not giving out their personal phone number to somebody that bashed and trashed me, you know? No, not happening.
No. No. So, you know, I just went to this poor farm last week, speaking of locations. We won't reveal locations, but, I found this poor house that's been sitting abandoned for about a year and a half. And it goes back to Civil War. And there's bodies buried all over the backyard. And I went in there. But while I was going there, I had pulled off the highway to the exit of where I was going. I had about another 20 minutes to get there. And I pulled off at this gas station. And there was this little kitty there, and it was homeless. And I went inside, and I said, what's up with the kitty out there? And they said somebody threw it out the window into the garbage can out back. And now its neck is all messed up, but it seems like it's okay. It's in good spirits, but something's wrong with its neck. I'm like, are you going to take it, like, to a vet? And they're like, no. And they said, do you want it? And I said, well, yeah, I'm taking it. So I took the kitty with me, and we finally picked a name today. We're going to call her Lucy, short for Lucifer, because she was starving, and when she gets around food,
you still there?
She becomes very demonic. And
Hello.
Oh, my God.
Well, I guess I lost Miss Jody.
What? Hello, I'm here.
I'm still on.
Hello? I'm still here. Hello? Hello? You're not connected. I think I am connected. I don't know, though. What the hell?
All right, I'm back. For some reason, Bulk Talk decided to kick us all off. So I'm here. So everybody that's out there, don't worry, we are still broadcasting. That was weird. While we're waiting on Jody to call back in, now I've lost train of thought. Oh, you can go to the URN fan page on Facebook and like us there. And Miss Jody, you back with us?
I am.
Hey, guess what? I got kicked off too.
Yeah, but you know what? I was still on there. You got kicked off, and I was still on there. And for whatever reason, you couldn't hear me, and I heard you say, I guess I just lost Jody. And I said, no, I'm not. I'm still here. And then I checked my phone to make sure I didn't hit it mute. But you got booted, but I was still in there. So I don't know if I was still talking, but whatever. But anyways, where was I with the kitty story?
Last thing I heard was what you named the kitty.
Okay, we named her Lucy for Lucifer. Short for Lucifer, it's L-U-C-I. And reason being is because she gets around food, and she becomes very demonic. She will she wants to eat all human food. So Nathan will go up and get himself something to eat, and he'll start eating, and she is like, she's fighting him for his food because she's been starving for who knows how long. She's so tiny, Kevin. I mean, she's the tiniest little kitten, and she's a year and a half old, and she looks like she's 5 months old. She's so tiny.
Wow.
Yeah, so poor little girl. She was... not taken care of at all, but she knows how to use a kitty litter, so she lives in somebody's house, and she's the most precious little thing in the world, but definitely we picked a name, and she's Lucy, so we've got Lucifer living with us now.
Ah.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Well, you know, I like to make evil look good, so.
Right.
I'm invited in. Yeah. All right, so, you know, I told you earlier I had some things I wanted to talk about. Some things I really had to get out of me, okay? So, I mean, have you been watching, like, the news and all this stuff and, like, have you been paying attention to politics and what the hell is going on with our country and how all these crazy laws are being passed?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm really worried about, I found some information out last night that really concerns me about our country. There was a document done by NASA, and it was basically a map of how basically they are going to wipe out mankind, most of it, because humans are consuming too much energy and we're a waste, and that technology that our actual government knows how to take people's brains and actually put them into robots. And that, you know, the Illuminati's and shit like that are, you know, they're trying to do, like, the New World Order. And this, the NASA, our government, CIA, you know, Homeland Security, like, all of this stuff, it's a written document that you can actually find on NASA website, and it is NASA War document about depopulation and how they are going to wipe us out. And they are going to call a martial law on us. I don't know if you've paid attention to all of these FEMA camps that have been popping up everywhere.
Right.
Do you know about that? And each FEMA camp has a train that comes up to them. Then there were some claims of, you know, those machines that cut your head off. 30,000 of them. 30,000 of them apparently were ordered, and they're being put into these FEMA camps, as well as these plastic coffins that fit four bodies in each one. And then, you know, you go a little bit further into digging and you find out about the Denver Airport You know anything about the Denver airport?
No.
It is really creepy. Okay, so there was nothing wrong with the Denver airport, the original one, okay? But they decided, no, that they needed to build a new one. So they actually built it further out in the middle of nowhere. And the budget for this thing has cost so much money, like way over budget than what they needed, what they asked for. And they're not sure quite where the rest of the money came for it, okay? But it, I've been to Denver Airport, and I thought when I was flying in and I was getting there and I was, like, looking out the window at the airport, I thought to myself, this freaking airport's weird, you know? But when you get there and you walk around and you look at the paintings, there are soldiers with masks, and they have swords and a dove at the end of the sword, with it, you know, the sword killing the dove, which the dove is, like, holy. And there are coffins of mothers holding children with crosses, so Christian people laying around dead. And there's animals that are dead. And then, you know, there's just other pictures of, like, kids, and they're all, like, Muslim, you know, and then, like, dead Christian kids. But then there's, like, fires coming up. And Jesse Ventura actually did a conspiracy documentary for his show on the Denver airport, and he kind of drove around the area, okay? So, like, out in front, they have this huge horse with red eyes. And, you know, being in our field, we should all know that that is, like, the sign of, like, the beast coming, you know? That movie, Devil Inside, remember the horse showed up and it had red eyes? And so, yeah, there's this huge, giant horse outside with red glowing eyes. Then there is this plaque, basically about New World Order committees. And, like, it is the sign of the Illuminati's. And then, to top it off, then there is a huge statue of a man. But, you know, he has the face of a horse. Kind of like, you know, the Egyptian paintings and stuff like that, artwork, where they had the man, you know, but then they had the horse's face, okay? And, you know, I'm sorry, but is that appropriate for our children to be walking past these paintings and seeing this kind of turmoil of destruction of dead children and mothers and soldiers with gas masks, with swords, and flames of fire with doves being killed? So you go further. You go further, and, you know, if you were to drive around the area, there are all these tunnels being built and to go underground, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So this airport had, you know, apparently, you know, the conspiracy is that the end of the world is coming, and martial law is being, you know, planned against us, and that the most elite have bought their way into staying in this building for 7 years while destruction is brought to us. So the most elite are being taken care of. And these FEMA camps, they're being built to keep prisoners in. And the whole thing is they're going to do is, if anything goes down, they're going to tell our people that, hey, if you come to these FEMA camps, we will take care of you. Well, no, they're gonna keep you in prison and pretty much kill the people who panic and go crazy. And they may kill everybody and just keep shipping people in. Like, I've been doing so much research on this, it's freaking me out. But anyways, if you want to go and check out some of the more in depth of this website, it is stopthecrime.net. And I would love, Kevin, to have this lady on because she clearly has been studying this stuff. She's speaking out. She's not holding back. And she is very well educated about what is going on and all these leaked documents that are coming out that, you know, point to us going into World War III, but it is against the American people. It will go worldwide, but it is going to start out against the American people. Hillary Clinton just signed some new law with China, where pretty much we own so much money that they can come in and take our real estate. But then I don't, you know, obviously I haven't seen the document. I'm just going off of what I hear, okay? So obviously I'm not completely educated about it, but something about that they are allowed to bomb us. They're allowed to attack us because of how much money we owe them. And then then I was doing some research on this, this prophet, like this psychic who back in the 1800s, and he predicted World War I, II, and III. And he said that it would start with all these things that have already happened, and that the government is keeping us so occupied with the media, with Facebook, Twitter, you know, TV, and, you know, just consuming us with technology, that we are not paying attention to what's really going on with the government and what they're doing to pass all these laws so that basically they can destroy us. And, you know, it has something to do with the Illuminati's and them coming in and making, you know, New World Order here, and our Constitution is going to go get wiped out. Because there are laws being that have already happened in our country with presidents that should have not happened. And you know how, like, you know, we have, God, I don't even, you know, politics. Here we go.
Hey, Sadie.
Congress, we have Congress, we have senators, and, you know, our presidents, and the White, you know, the White House. So, it, like, you know, it circles, it goes in a circle of three, so that no matter what, you know, that's why we have a Democratic and Republican party, and, you know, so it goes in a cycle of three, so that no matter what, the Constitution is always being hard to destroy us, because there's always going to be somebody that says no, you know what I mean? And but now, like, the president, like, he rules over all somehow in some ways, and, you know, he can shut shit down and there's not a goddamn thing. And that they're using when laws are not being passed, they are actually threatening the people who are not willing to pass the laws with a martial law against our freaking country. So they're signing them because they're scared. Yes.
We can talk some more, because our guests have been listening to all of what you've been saying, and they want to chime in as well. Our guests tonight are Howard Ryan and Christy of ASPS, the All-Seeing Paranormal Society of Virginia, and they're devoted to both professional explorations and helping those dealing with the paranormal. They work with their clients to resolve their problems by investigating that which currently unexplained, and in the process add comfort and understanding. They are dedicated to seeking knowledge using standard and experimental equipment, the scientific method, and knowledge of the paranormal, metaphysical, and supernatural. Let's bring them in now. Hey, guys.
Good evening.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you guys?
Feel pretty good about yourself.
Good. Sorry, I had to go off on a bitching rage there for a minute.
Yeah, you were freaking me out a little bit there.
Yeah, Dude, I researched too much and I learned too much, but there's a lot of really bad information out there that freaks me out.
Yeah. No sleep for me tonight, for sure.
You open one though? Door and you can start opening them up.
Dude, I know for one thing, you're my new best friend.
Echo, can you listen to that? Echo, the light part.
Me and a couple friends of mine out in Roanoke, we've actually been talking about the concentration camps and Denver Airport and everything like that. And to hear you bring it up made me go, oh, my God, I love you.
Yeah, man. I mean, I have been researching this really hard for a while because I have four kids. And the last thing I want is my own freaking government taking me down. You know what I mean? And if there are warning signs out there, I'm going to pay attention. On these sites with that NASA that I was talking about, documents, they actually describe how they're going to do it, and they are going to be using all the technology that they are giving us to have you noticed, like, I don't know how old you guys are. How old are you guys?
42.
36.
Okay. 24. Okay, so you guys, how old are you?
I'm 24.
Okay, so you're kind of a baby, and but like, you know, we're a little bit older, so, you know, when we were younger, I mean, we were watching stuff being developed, you know, and when we were kids, there weren't, like, the kids that we went to school with, you never heard of kids getting cancer. You hardly heard about certain illnesses that are out, and that is one way that the, you know, they claim that, you know, is starting the process is, you know, you see all of these people. There's a college campus where a ton of people just recently went in. All of these people got sick, all these college students. And they've been diagnosed with some type of cancer, some brain cancer or something. And there's this tower around them. And that is one of the things. There's all these towers that have gone up that they are going to use to put pulses into all of our technology that we're buying to cause us to get sick. They're also going to contaminate our food and all this crazy shit.
You know, something really interesting that I actually just read that kind of goes on with what you're saying, and I want to do a little bit more research on it, but apparently back in 1984, they didn't sign with the U.S., but the FDA, but they sold their products to different countries, and a lot of people wound up getting HIV virus because of it, because it had a strain in the Bayer aspirin.
Wow.
And
this morning there was a FEMA drill for a radiation. It was like a radiation drill. So FEMA have been doing all kinds of weird drills.
It's kind of a zombie apocalypse drill. It happens. Like a zombie attack. Government trained for zombie attacks.
I'm
sure.
Kind of having a hard time hearing you guys.
I heard that that there's actually a drill the government has, like a zombie attack. The U.S. Army has a drill for whatever a zombie apocalypse.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's so much. There are so many weird things going on. I'm really starting. I'm not joking. I am really actually kind of starting to get a little bit scared. I really am.
Well, you know what? Let's bring up on something. Did you know that the majority of all fire departments have actually a drill for an extraterrestrial contact?
I'm having such a hard time hearing you, babe. I heard something about us coming in that we've come in contact with extraterrestrial.
Yeah.
This is what we're going to do. Hold on.
Okay.
I'm going to do this.
Okay.
I'm going to.
Are you guys, is anybody else having a hard time hearing them too? Or is it just me?
I'm sorry?
Are you having a hard time hearing him at all?
Shall we go ahead and speak?
Yeah, see what the, I think what the situation is, we're all sitting around a round table right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. So the kids can hear. I'm going to tell you what's going on. I'm going to step outside in the other room.
Okay.
And see if this is better. What I was saying is that most fire departments around the United States have actually a action plan in case there is extraterrestrial contact.
I've heard that.
Yeah.
Huh.
That's interesting. Not twisting or anything, but, you know, I just want to bring that. You were talking about drills and, you know, contact and information. That's just another step in the direction of, you know, where is this country actually going? To actually have to have a format for something like that than going into what we're talking about tonight.
Yeah, and, you know, there's something with NASA, with this document with NASA was also saying something about mind control. And, you know, there are claims. I also do ufology. I go to these MUFON meetings about once a month, and they fill my head with more shit that I don't need, okay? So I come home and research all of that. I mean, I've just become a little research, like, I'm obsessed with it. Okay, I can't help it. But, have you heard of, like, the Pegasus Project with time travel?
What is that? Do what? I can't.
Can you hear me? Have you heard of the Pegasus Project?
I've heard that actually thrown around in a few conversations with a couple of friends of mine, but I didn't really catch much of what it was.
Okay, do me a favor. Just type it in on YouTube and go watch it on Coast to Coast. Not watch it, but listen to it from Coast to Coast Interview, and you'll get the whole story. And, you know, it goes back to it's you know, part of how we won the Cold War. And you know, they were using time travel back then, and you know that, you know, I definitely believe that we are going to probably have answers in ufology before we ever get the answers about what happens, like, in the paranormal field when we die, you know.
You know, it's actually kind of funny. Sorry.
Yeah. It's funny because
backtracking a little bit to when you were talking about mind control.
Yeah.
You know, all this crazy stuff with the school shootings that happened back to back, and a lot of the and a lot of the stuff with the backlash from it, saying that one of the videos with the president had one of the kids that was killed and sitting in his lap. I think about the school shooting, especially with them saying, hey, we'll give you money if you bring your guns into these areas, and we'll pay you for them, pretty much, in the mind control and people being sheep, pretty much.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And, you know, there are going to be – they're trying to get our guns. And, you know, but then they went and bought $1.6 billion worth of ammo for – our army here in the United States. What's up with that?
You know, there's
what do we need that shit for?
I'm sorry.
What do they need the ammo and stuff for?
They're buying up all the bullets and stuff. There's a member of the Muslim Brotherhood in Department of Homeland Security.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty scary.
Yeah, I'm telling you what, shit stinks real freaking bad. It stinks really bad. And
That's why I take ghosts over actual living people any day.
Oh yeah, no doubt.
At least it can only hurt you, but so much.
Yeah, you guys are right. You know, I'm not scared of ghosts. I am scared of humans.
Humans are much more evil.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree. Let's mix the two on this. I can mix it both. Has either one of you heard of HARP?
Yes.
Of what?
HARP.
I didn't hear it again.
HARP?
No.
H-A-A-R-P? Yeah, I've heard of HARP before.
Okay. It is supposed to be a testing, quote-unquote, ability for us to control the weather, to form, you know. But what we're finding, it's actually bleeding into what we do as well. It puts out a particular type of tone that's actually quite hazardous to humans. And the reason I'm bringing it up is because it's affecting some of our equipment as well. I really believe it in the paranormal field. We don't know what this particular device could be putting out. We don't know how it could be affecting our EMF readers and our digis and our sensors. So, I mean, that's two points of the we're looking at is both the government side and paranormal. And that's one project that scares the crap out of me.
Yeah, I actually watched a documentary on that last night about how back to the mind control. They're kind of like the weather people will say, tomorrow it's going to be a little gloomy sunshine, you know. And even, I don't know if you guys noticed, like, it just isn't as bright as it used to be, you know.
Oh,
there are
right.
days where it just seems like over and over, it's just like an overcast of smog somehow. Like, I even noticed that all summer. It just seems so weird.
Now, I was just going to say, for all of you guys, it just kind of popped in my head. With all the turmoil going on in the world and even in our country, I'm wondering if that has something to do with the way paranormal activity has increased. Is the veil getting thinner between our world and their world because of all this?
Exactly. That was my...
Yeah.
Could all the technology, all the cell phones, cell towers, all the EMFs everywhere, could that be a contributing factor as well, you think?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We're creating more and more ways for the spirit world to be able to manifest and do things on our side with all the energy that we have.
Yeah,
I think we have so much more ability to communicate with them that they probably are always been around, but we have so much better technology, we're noticing them more than we probably were before. We probably have more technology to get their energy from.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Our technology is pulling it out.
Yeah.
But they pull the power lines, too. The energy that emits from the power lines.
Oh, yeah.
You're talking about white noise, especially with the radio.
Yeah.
I'll be walking down the street, and there's these huge power lines near our house. And when I walk under them, the only thing I hear is this crackling and this popping noise. I would really, really like to take a digi down there just to see if I could get anything.
Yeah, I would. Yeah,
I mean,
that would be really interesting. Because, you know, how I was saying earlier about that college and how all these college kids just all of a sudden came down with cancer. There's a tower right there. And see, that, like, was part of this documentary that I watched about the NASA documentary and what they're going to do. And they're building all these towers everywhere, and they're putting these towers in places so that they can put pulses out to harm us physically, causing us to get sick and brain cancer and, you know, tumors. And so... Yeah, so my question would be, okay, us knowing that, you know, we are as humans sensitive to all of these EMF, you know, the electromagnetic field being put out at us, it does affect us. If we were to have a war against us, and that was one of the ways that they're going to harm us, how do we prevent ourselves from that?
Dude, that's a good question. I mean,
that is a very good question.
Like, are we talking physically or metaphysically?
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, I guess what, you know, would those, you know, because, like, okay, in ufology, when they have a crash site, say, okay, and they go out and MUFON goes and they investigate it, they have to protect themselves from radiation, right? So they have to go in suits and collect their evidence, and they have to be very careful about everything that and how they're collecting it because of that radiation. So could a suit be made for, you know, whatever these pulses are, microwave radiation, you know, the frequencies that they're putting out. Could there be something made to prevent, to save people from that? And
you
if there is, what would it be?
I guess you'd have to know what exactly the, it is your goal before you can make a suit to protect yourself from it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if people who made the radiation would have to be the same people who make the suit because they know exactly what they did. You know, and it's...
I mean, if they're trying to recreate a whole natural selection thing just to kill off a population, do you really think they're going to give it to the populace?
They won't. That's what I'm saying.
No, but, you know, that's where we come in smarter than them, okay? Even if they're listening right now, I'm a mom, motherfuckers.
No. That's one thing I've, and I think I'm going to start... My buddy did this for about 2 years, but I think I'm going to start doing it. He basically did a ghost box experiment every day for 2 years and would turn his spirit box on for about 5-10 minutes and just run it and ask questions. But I think I'm going to go a step further. I'm not going to ask anything about who they are, you know, the spirits or whatnot. I'm going to get in contact with the spirit world and see what their opinion is on things going on in the world or if they know things that are going to happen before they happen.
Yeah. I was actually asking some questions the other night on my, while I was investigating. I didn't get anything, though, but I was asking some questions.
And the reason I've come up with this is because we were talking Sunday on the show, on the other show, and he did a ghost box session about a year ago, and he asked, you know, at that time it was 2012, and he asked, okay, what's in the future for America? And he heard through the ghost box that said, jihad is coming. That he didn't listen to anything else. Well, a couple months ago, he came across that file, so he decided to listen to it again. And he listened closely, and it said, jihad is coming. Boston bombing. Save the Americans. That came through the ghost box. And, of course,
wow.
He did this originally before it happened, but he didn't pay attention to everything that came through, and then when he re-listened, that was on there. That was predicted prior to it actually happening.
Well, you know, that thing was all weird in itself, too, because out on Twitter, before that happened, I forget who, but they put out a post that there was a drill going on. Somebody put out a post that a drill was going on across the street from the bombing. And then you notice it all went like martial law, where they were going into people's houses. They shut the whole town down. They took the, phones and everything. They took it down. It was a drill. But they actually killed a whole bunch of people. But,
yeah, you know,
and then so that was a conspiracy out online that, you know, I found very interesting because there was documented evidence that somebody put out a post that there was a drill going on, like, I mean, 2 minutes before it happened or something.
You know, I completely believe that. And just to bring up what Outlaw was talking about, me and CPR Dennis were actually talking the other night and talking about changing up how we ask questions when we're doing an EVP session and actually establish an actual communication of asking what is the spirit's idea, not our idea. Ask them who they are, or get them to ask us who we are. Just kind of change up and see if it's established, and then see what they know for once, instead of reversing and going, who are you, where are you from, where have you been, what's your age, where's your mother, how did you pass away, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
try to
the
get
same
them to
thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just,
yeah. Yeah, and I told Dennis this too when we were talking several months ago. I said another thing you can try is actually ask the spirits what goes on their side. Who's calling the shots? You know, are you all divided up in different sections? You know, what's the layout? That kind of stuff. And you'll be surprised. You'll get some answers. They won't divulge a lot, but you will get some answers.
Exactly. And that's the kind of stuff we're going to be looking for.
Yeah.
You know, that's the way to do it.
You want to hear what I did the other day? I just went hunting on Friday, and I went to this poor farm, and I pulled out my ghost box, and I bought a deck of cards before I went, a deck of cards, and I actually had somebody pick a card, look at it, and I had the ghost box, you know, call out the card. And it did it to both of them. I did it twice, and it called it out.
Yeah, wow.
That was pretty fun. Because, you know, sometimes ghost hunting gets kind of boring. So I was like, you know what, I'll just play some cards. I get bored,
yeah.
You know. And play it with them, try and get them to, like, interact.
Yeah, I've done that. I've told you, Jody, I've done that with a coin. I'd top it up in the air and have them call it in the air, heads or tails, and they would get it right every time.
Yeah.
And those
are
the kind of things right there as investigators, you know, the only time you really need to know more about the spirit and why they're there and those kind of things is when you're dealing with residential cases where you're trying to get answers for your client. But when you go to these haunted locations, you know, other teams have been in or whatever it might be, that's when you can turn the tables, like you said earlier, and try new things and actually try to get more answers for yourself as investigators than worry about what the spirit is.
That's true.
Oh, I totally agree, Outlaw. Totally agree with you 100%. Yeah, I mean, that's the way investigators should be thinking. Unfortunately, there's a lot of teams out there that don't because they're either worried about how popular they are, how many EVPs they get, those type of things, instead of really stepping out of the box and trying to figure things out for themselves and share that with other teams, you know, and try to find answers. I mean, that's why we're all in it. One way or another, we're in it because something in our lives sparked interest in finding out what's going on the other side.
Yeah.
You definitely got to think outside the box in order to get better information than what's already out there, you know?
Yeah,
you know, a lot of us have to be concerned of how can we help that spirit, too. I mean, that might be a restless spirit. How can we help it? Some of them might want to pass. How do we help them pass? We got to communicate with them to get them to help us, to help them.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, and these are, you know, a lot of times we get caught up, and I've been guilty of it when I first got into it hot and heavy, you know, not realizing that these spirits that we're talking to, they were human beings. They have feelings. They have personalities. And, you know, if you talk to them like they were standing right in front of you, you'll get better results. You know?
That's true. I was thinking, I was on an investigation, and we thought we were talking to a little girl upstairs in one of the rooms. And I suggested we talk to the little girl like she was a little girl, instead of these, like, hard questions, like talking like I was talking to an adult. I tried talking to her like a little kid. I would talk to a little kid, and I was trying to see if that would work to get more EVPs.
Yeah, and we had action out of that.
Yeah, we actually got some.
Better action.
Yes.
Have you guys come across the fact that when you do investigations and you go over the evidence, it seems like the spirits are more likely to, you'll catch EVPs more times when you guys are having conversations amongst your team than actually answering a direct question from you. It just seems like they like to chime in the conversation when you're not even paying attention to them.
Yes.
I would agree. I really would. And sometimes, you know, this is another point. You speak of, you know, during the conversation, the ironic part, too, that we found on two different occasions is answers were actually answered before we even asked them. So
yeah.
There's another point. You know, I'm working on a theory now. By the way, just to let you know, this is Hallie. I'm working on a theory now that there's a possibility that they could hit into our psychocortex and have that ability, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what was interesting to me is they know, like, if you're before you even go to a location, if you're psychic, if you have ability to see spirits or whatnot, like Jody, her ability is more in her dream. She'll see things happen before they happen. Well, these spirits, I had, when I had my team going, I had a medium on my team. The spirits of the location that we were about to go to, it might be 3 or 4 days out, those spirits would show up at his house. Well, how did they know who he was? Right? How are they knowing who we are before we even get there? They have more psychic ability than what we know.
Oh, yeah. They have to.
Yeah.
To be proven, like that's been happening, yeah.
And see, that's one thing that investigators don't realize when they go into a home to help people, that these spirits know what they're going to try to do to get rid of them before they even do it.
True.
So you kind of have to think outside the box, and you kind of have to try to outsmart them and do something they weren't expecting. And that's where you catch them off guard. I've learned that through my experience. If you catch the spirit off guard, then they're like, whoa. Where did that come from? Because I didn't have a pre-thought in my mind that I was going to do it. I just acted on impulse. And, you know, especially spirits that are trying to hide, you know, they don't want to communicate, or they are hiding because they don't want you to find out what their intentions are with the family. And you catch them off guard, and they act out, and you're like, uh-huh, you are here. See, I caught you.
We noticed when we were on our last investigation that I was downstairs in the main floor with Kristen, and we heard a bunch of footsteps upstairs when nobody was up there. And we go upstairs, and it's completely silent. I think since we weren't on the same floor, the spirits were moving around, felt more relaxed because we were not in the same area as they were.
Yeah. Well, and Jody and I have talked about this on numerous shows, and I still believe that it's true. I just need to do some experiments to try to prove it. But I think that spirits can see IR light, and that's why they tuck and dodge around the IR.
Makes sense.
Because I've actually, this spurred from an investigation where I caught two spirits on an EVP. We were setting up DVR cameras, and we had our EVP recorders running. And upstairs, while we were downstairs, one spirit said, "Where's the camera?" And the other spirit goes, "Over there." And the first spirit said, "I'm out of here." So they already knew the positioning of the DVR cameras.
So they use the equipment. They know what's going on. They know what's up.
Yeah, I mean, because how many teams out there have caught, like, just crazy evidence on video or your DVR? Especially your DVR, because it's stationary. I mean, yeah, you might catch something here and there, but I really haven't seen in the field as a whole just, you know, mind-blowing evidence on investigation. Now, there has been some stuff, but I don't know if it's proven if it was real or not, from security cameras that say, like, a store that nobody's in and something happens, something flies off the shelf. But how do we know that wasn't a hoax, you know? But as far as investigation, I've never in 4 years of running a DVR really caught anything just mind-blowing on that DVR.
Yeah.
I've noticed a lot of times when people see things or catch apparitions on photographs, it's usually by accident. Like someone's taking a picture of a house, and you look inside the window, you see someone standing that wasn't there. Or I turned around and looked up, I saw a person sitting in the doorway, and looked out and he was gone. It's almost usually by accident when you catch someone like that.
That just happened to me recently. I went over to a friend's house, and he has a cat. And I walked in the house. I was putting something in the house, and two cats, his cat and then, like, another cat, walked out of the basement door where it always was allowed to go up and down. And I didn't think anything of it, and then, like, a month goes by, and I was like, "So what was up with that cat in your house?" And he was like, "What are you talking about?" And I was like, "When I was there that, like, a month ago, and I was taking stuff inside, you know, Otis came out, and then another cat was following behind him." And he was like, "Dude, there's no other cat that's allowed in my house. I don't have any other cats." And I literally saw two cats.
You saw a ghost cat.
This is a house that I do hunt at, by the way. And there's shit there.
They do say that spirits have the ability to change their form.
Yeah.
I thought that was just really odd. You know what I mean? Like, I swear to God, there was a goddamn cat. There was a freaking cat.
Well,
like, I saw it, and I was like, "Who are you?" You know, but I had my hands full, and I was going right, I was just dropping something off and going back out, because I was, like, helping doing stuff. And so I just, you know, didn't pay no mind.
We were on a residential, and the weird part about it was this family was living in an old school. So they were taking some of the classrooms and knocking down walls or whatever and creating an apartment. And they were having an activity. And when we get there.
Yes, they were.
And throughout the night we were getting activity. And our medium was seeing different things. So you saw a cafeteria lady, saw a janitor, saw a child. Well, finally through our equipment and our EVPs and his reading, it was one spirit morphing into three different spirits that we thought. We thought they had three spirits, and it was actually one spirit changing their form and, you know, trying to deceive us.
So it's a schizophrenic ghost.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Multiple personality type deal.
Mm-hmm.
It's the ability they would just change to trick you. You know, some out there is a trickster. They want to trick you into thinking one thing when it's not. Demons are notorious for that. They're
right.
Notorious for changing the shape and how they act just to throw you off your game and maybe lure you in.
You heard like a lot of demons like to act like children.
Yeah, demons don't have to act like children. Yeah.
You know, this conversation.
Go ahead.
So this conversation is actually really interesting because when I lived on my own in a trailer across the street from my parents, we would get a lot of interesting stuff happen at the trailer. We'd get runners that would run by windows. It'd be like little flashes of light where there were no light at all. At one point, we saw a face in the window. It was really really shady looking face. Like you couldn't really make it out, but we knew it was there. And I would sit there and I had a good day at work. And as soon as I came home, I get this weird feeling of just kind of wanting to hurt somebody, and that normally isn't me.
That's a good thing.
I mean, so much stuff happened at that house. It makes me wonder if it was just one entity that was there that just didn't want us there at all.
Right. And, you know, another interesting case, and I've never mentioned this on the show, Jody, because I keep forgetting about it, but we investigated two locations, one here in Texas and one up in Arkansas, in their homes. And the thing about it was the houses were built about the same time. And the claim at the home down here in Texas is there's multiple spirits there, but there's one spirit that the investigator, different teams have come across, this lady in the blue dress, but she never talks and she never identifies herself. Well, then we go up to this house in Arkansas, and the same lady in the blue dress is there. But she talks there and identifies herself as one of the owners, you know, the original owners of the house, and identifies herself by name and the whole nine yards. And we do some research. The family that owned the house here in Texas has connections with that family up there in Arkansas. And they actually asked that spirit up there in Arkansas, do you visit this house in Texas? And the answer was yes. So here's two families that still haunt their homes, but they visit each other.
Wow.
That makes you scratch your head.
Yeah.
That's weird.
They haunt themselves.
Yeah.
Well, could that also be a point of self-projection, projecting your energy onto that place?
Well, what's weird is at the house here in Texas, people, different teams would get EVPs of spirits saying the name Rebecca. And at the home up in Arkansas, they would get the EVP of a name Mike. Well, what's weird about it is the actual one of the owners of the home in Arkansas, her name is Rebecca, and Mike was on my team.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's
and
weird.
These are
Ghost Adventures
are other
did an episode. Ghost Adventures did kind of an episode of that where they set up three different locations with cameras and had certain people go to certain ones, and they did an experiment at one, and stuff was coming through, all three of them. And, like, all three of them were experiencing really weird things, like, coming through each other's end.
Oh, yeah, that was the Winchester House episode.
Yeah.
I know that Joshua P. Warrant was in that one, and Bobby Mackey's, and what's that one really weird house?
There's one
of the Yes. And then I can't remember the third one. I just...
The Washoe Club, yeah, in Virginia City, Nevada.
Yeah, you remember, yeah, some weird stuff was happening. So it's almost like you can create shit to come through. Technology is scary.
Yeah, that's the episode that Zach's grandma died, that episode.
Yep, that's right.
Yeah.
That was weird.
Yep.
Now, you guys being in Virginia, y'all got a lot of history in that state, not only in Native Americans, but early colonization and then Civil War. So, I mean, that state is just bubbling with history.
Oh, we're like a mecca. We really are. We've got everything in the melting pot in one spot. It's just got to go to those locations. And, you know, our worst enemy right now is the historical society. It really is.
Yeah.
What is your
favorite location in your area?
It's actually a secluded place. It's a privately owned historical site in Powhatan, Virginia. But we have two other locations. We like to go to the Exchange Civil War Hospital Museum in Gordonsville, Virginia. That's a good place we like to go to.
Cool.
That's actually on a TV show on the Oscar channel, like my ghost story or something like that. The Exchange was actually featured on that show a couple years ago.
Nice.
It's a great place. The proprietor is a very sweet lady by the name of Angel May, and she's got a lot of great people with her, a gentleman by the name of Chris. A lot of us from Richmond and the surrounding areas do go up there a lot. She does charge, but all the money goes directly to the Exchange, so it's not that the money's not going to someplace just out of whack. It's really going to keeping the Exchange up and running. It has a train depot. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. I was saying, yeah.
All right, go ahead.
Okay. It has a train depot, a separate building, and then, of course, the Exchange itself. It was a military hospital in the mountains of Virginia that it would be a first drop before it came to Chambrazo Park here in Richmond. We had several hospital tents set up around the Exchange. They would actually deliver, unfortunately, the passing soldiers in the train depot and send them to Chambrazo. It's also the place known for the world's greatest fried chicken. Chicken capital
Nice.
Of the world. So ladies, the servants that used to work at the Exchange would bring the fried chicken out on platelets out to the train for the soldiers, unbeknownst that there were secret messages inside the fried chicken to go back here to Richmond or to Danville. If you know anything about Gordonsville and the Exchange, it's actually the home of the beginnings of the CIA.
Wow.
Whoa.
Then there was silence.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to blow your mind.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Well, what is the website for this place?
It's a website for the Exchange?
For the Exchange?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do believe there is. Let me bring it up for you.
Yeah.
Go
ahead and plug that for them since we're talking about them.
Yeah, let's plug them.
Shameless plug.
Amen.
They've always been really nice when we go up there to visit. It's very, and they do their museum really well too.
I'll take it from here.
All right.
Can you just say it? You can find the Exchange at the Civil War Museum at the Exchange Hotel in Gordonsville. It's www.hgiexchange.org. And you'll see a lot of pictures.
and seeing how they've really taken the place off, even in the last year. We have, this year was the second Paracon that we've had there. Great people again, like I said, and it's a beautiful place. And Gordonsville itself is a such gorgeous town.
Is it? Is it? Oh.
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. It's surrounded by the mountains. It's got, yeah, right outside Charlottesville. It's just absolutely gorgeous country out there.
Nice. What's the population? Like, is it a smaller town?
It's a small town. It's almost, yeah.
Tell you what, I'm going to send the plug to them.
He's going to send the plug to you.
Nice.
Okay.
You know, I will have to say, being the newbie in the group, Party Horror, the exchange actually, it was my first investigation, and the energy just rolling off of that place, it was amazing.
Really?
I got super excited. And
yeah.
I think I only had one energy drink that night, and I was wired until like 5 in the morning.
Awesome.
What's something that's happened to you guys on investigation that just made you either, you know, kind of startled, or you came out of there scratching your heads because the activity was just nuts? What's something that you've experienced?
During investigations, I think actually just sitting in the place, trying to have a conversation and, you know, hearing random footsteps or whispers or giggles to just kind of let you know that something is there is the most mind-boggling thing for me. I mean, I've had some pretty interesting run-ins before I got into the ASPS group, but going over evidence and listening to the EVPs and actually looking at the videos, it blows my mind.
I have to agree with Kristen on that. During investigations, you know, we've heard like coughing or maybe a whistle that nobody whistled, you know, and it didn't really startle me or scare me, surprise me a little bit, but I thought it was more interesting than actual, like, you know, get me out of here type of deal. I think most of my what I find most interesting is going through the evidence and finding out what we missed or what we did while we caught with the digital recorders that we couldn't hear with our own ears, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We haven't really. Maybe we'll get more like physical stuff on other investigations, but right now.
Oh, yeah. How long have y'all been doing it?
This is our third investigation. This is the last one. Third investigation was our last. Yeah, this is a pre-investigation.
Okay. Yeah. I know I can speak on an activity. I've been in it for 4 years, and I know Jody's done it a long time as well. Trust me,
yeah.
The more you do it, the crazier the shit gets.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
Yeah, you know what, you guys? Like, I kind of started out, I've always studied the paranormal in some ways, you know. 20 years ago, I was playing with tarot cards. I was reading books about herbs and, like, you know, how certain herbs can do certain things and, you know, more natural stuff. And, you know, it's just like one thing evolved into another. Then I had a child that he was seeing things and hearing things at the age of 3. So it was like, you know, I was raising a child that pretty good. So I had to get into it for him. You know, so it evolved for me slowly
But then once I went full force into, like, actually stepping away from doing it with my son and I started doing it with, like, other people, oh, my God. Like, I'll never forget the first time I saw something fly across the room. You know what I mean? It was like, holy shit, it's game on. You know what I mean? Like, this shit is going down tonight. and it did, you know? But it's like... You know, you guys just hang in there, keep doing your thing, keep collecting evidence, keep going through it, and shit will happen. I give you, I just stick with it.
Now, I do have a couple quick questions for you. You were saying that your son, from being three, was seeing and hearing things. At a religious point of view, How are you going into it that way? Like, are
with him? How did I go into what? I'm sorry.
I mean, all right, I understand that, you know, kids when they're younger, the veil in the brain, they're more susceptible to seeing or hearing things, and
yeah.
Of course, well, animals having that sixth sense, they can sense things.
Yeah.
But, you know, sometimes growing up, outside factors, things kind of start dissipating for some people. They don't really have much touch with that kind of
yeah.
basis. So, I mean, like, how, I guess what I'm trying to say is, like, how were you brought up on a religious basis? What are you possibly doing?
I was actually baptized Lutheran, and my parents got divorced, and my dad's new wife, she was Catholic, so she made us, my brother and I, become Catholic. So we had to go through all this crap to become Catholic. So I went to church actually every Sunday, and then every Monday I went to religion class, and so I did that all the way through, but once, you know, I left. I never went and baptized my kids. I never enforced any belief system on them, any of my kids. I will let them decide. If they want to talk to me about it, if they learn about it, they ask questions, I'll talk to them about it. But I'll always let them decide on what they choose to believe about religion, because I just think it's a touchy subject that I just don't want to pry down my kids' throats. But as far as, like, having a son, you know, I probably wouldn't have brought him into actually ghost hunting if it wasn't such a problem for him. By the time he was, like, 11, it was so bad. He was so scared. And I didn't know what to do. So I actually reached out to a lady over in Alton, Illinois, and I contacted her and I said, "Listen, I have a son. You know, he's seeing and hearing things. He's frightened to death, and he thinks that he's schizophrenic. And I would like to find out if he is somebody that is really seeing. You know, so would you let us come over, and would you talk to my son?" And so we went over there, and within 30 minutes, he heard the little girl in the building. She was talking to him, and he told the owner about it, and she said, "Nathan, there is a little girl that we capture EVPs here all the time." So she kind of took me and my son under her wing, and they have a great, great relationship, like a grandmother-grandson relationship. I'm very close to her, but she's done so much for my son, and still he is seeing. So does that help with... anything?
Basically, I mean, of course, you know, when I first started talking to Howie, he told me his religious views. You know, I was just kind of curious if the views really mattered about how much you felt or how much you saw. I mean, Howie has blown my mind with some of the things that he's told me and a lot of his theories.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically in training, and it's just, I mean, my mind is blown. It puts a whole new twist on everything for me because, I don't know, I've had a lot of backlash about beliefs between myself and some of my friends, and it just, like I said, it's mind-boggling. I'm sorry. My brain's misfiring.
I hear you. Yeah, I have people that blow my mind. There's this psychic. His name is Justin Chase Mullen. And he'll call me up and he'll be like, so, Jody, I keep getting, he'll just give me one word, okay? And I'll be like, what does that mean? And he'll be like, I don't know, just the word keeps coming up. And I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what that is. And then 2 weeks will come by and bam, like that one word can like, open doors, and we had no, like, he saw it, but it just came out of nowhere. You know what I'm saying? And it's like,
yeah.
How do you do that, dude? How do you do that? It is mind-blowing, you know, some of this stuff and what people can do, abilities, and, you know, especially when we're hunting ghosts and we're at these locations and we experience things that we cannot explain, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I'll chime in on this as well. You know, you mentioned earlier, you were talking about how when you grow up, when you get older, some people that have gifts are more sensory, don't lose it. And then there's others that suppress it or lose it, you know, because of their environment. Now, for you guys, the more you investigate, the more locations you go to, you'll start noticing that your body starts reacting to the environment, and you become, in a sense, more psychic. Because I was psychic as a rock when I first started, and now I can walk in a location and I can tell you where a spirit is by the energy. I was never able to do that before, but you'll start noticing things. I mean, I've actually, you know, I get jealous of people that I know that are mediums that can see spirits on a regular basis, and more investigations I did, I actually started, every now and then, I'll see a full-body apparition, and it'll just blow my mind, and it's because I'm opening up a lot more, and I talk to a lot of psychics that we've had on this show, and they all say the same thing, that us, every one of us has psychic ability. It's just a matter of learning how to tap into it and opening your mind up.
Well, it's like before I got into this field, I was living my life in a box. And now that I'm part of this team, the top has come off the box, and more information is kind of flooding in that I wouldn't even thought of being possible 2 or 3 years ago.
Oh, bull crap. It didn't come off. I blew that top off.
Yeah, it's been amazing. How it taught me is blow my mind.
You know, Ed, that's the thing about this field and what is like the food for investigators is every time you go on an investigation or even when you get on a radio show like Jody and I do every week and we talk to different people and they share their experiences, we share ours, then more and more questions pop into your head and you're like, damn it, I got to figure this out now. And, you know, you figure out one thing, then you got to figure out something else. It's just a constant flow of food for your mind, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Totally.
And it's hard to explain to the outside world how it changes you, because it's like, unless you experience it yourself, unless you're there in the house experiencing what you're experiencing, you can't explain to people. People are like, well, why aren't you sitting inside a house by yourself or in the dark talking to yourself pretty much? It's not about
right.
that. It's about, you know, discovering what else is out there. Even if you come home and we don't get anything. It's for me, it's fun being out there. I enjoy it.
Yeah, and, you know, one thing I can share with y'all,
you know, back when I first started, I was very, very fearful of death, right? I mean, I had my religious beliefs and whatnot, but I'm also one of these people that I have to either see it or experience it to believe it, right? So when people tell me this and religion telling me that, you know, it's like, okay, but all these questions go into my mind, what really happened? Well, now that I've done the paranormal investigating, I know for a fact that when we leave the physical world, we're not done. We're just crossing over to another dimension, and we continue to exist, just on a different plane. So now that I know that knowledge, and I know and I see all these spirits that we talk to and communicate with, I'm not fearful of it because I know that we all do it, and it's not the end of our existence.
It's a very comforting thought to have that. See, my mom passed away a couple of years ago, and to know that I have a chance to see her again is very comforting.
Oh, yeah. You know, and, I lost my girlfriend about 2.5 years ago, and I know for a fact that she's here all the time. I've had mediums that are on the show tap in and talk to her. She's told me things through medium. And just to know that she still exists and still, you know, doing her thing, it's a good thing. You know, it's very comforting, especially when, because life and death hits us all. We all experience loved ones passing away around us all the time. And to know that they're still out there and they're still watching over us and they're still around us, man, it's such a great, great comforting thing to think about.
Definitely got to give you some peace, some inner peace.
Oh, yeah.
It's actually, speaking of, loved ones coming, making themselves known after they pass, my grandmother, she passed in 2008, and the day before she passed, when I went to the hospital to visit her, she asked me why I didn't tell her I was in a car accident. And the day of her funeral, coming back home, I had a lady pull out in front of me, and I hit her, and one of the girls that was in the car with me, my grandmother mentioned, and it was actually kind of weird. And then on another instance, a couple months later, I was out in the middle of BFE, and I had another car pull out in front of me, and I swerved into the oncoming lane. I don't know how I missed that car. I don't know how I didn't run off the road or wreck or anything, but when I looked over, I saw a ball of light, and it looked like lightning had come down, and it just stood about 5 feet off the ground, and then I stopped the car, and I couldn't move any further because I was so shaken.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy stuff like that.
Yeah, and, you hear it all the time about people coming out of nowhere to help somebody, and then you turn around to thank them or whatnot, and they're gone, and it's just real comforting, and the more we've done it and the more we've talked to people, and I think Jody will agree with me on this, the paranormal is more involved in our everyday life than what we really know.
Mm-hmm. Totally agree. I'll give you a little instance on my behalf real quick. My father was 90 years old, and he passed away December 1st of 2003. Now, the significance and significance of that is my son was born December 29th of the same year. He wasn't able to see his grandfather, nor was his grandfather able to see him. When my dad passed, we had an old traditional surrounding of the bed. And, of course, my wife was there with us, and we were all standing around when Papa Fred passed. And at the time when Dad passed, my son actually screamed through the womb. Now, these were 12 people that were around the bed that heard him scream through the womb.
To prolong the story, move on with it. 7 years later, we were living 5 houses down from that house, which my mom still lives in, and I had gone to a particular meeting. I won't say what kind of society, but it wasn't KKK right. or anything like that. But I don't, right. I'm not going to plug it. But, while we were there having dinner with our associates, my son saw my father pass through the hallway from one room to the other. And he came to me and my wife when we came home. Now, that house did have other activity, but he came to us and told us that he'd seen Papa Fred. And we're like, well, how do you know? And he described my dad to a T. And he's seen him since. He's seen him walking. He walked with my son and my wife to the car one morning going to school. He's actually felt him here at the house. So I could tell you, your family members stick with you, and just because you don't get a chance to see them in life, you're going to see them again.
Yeah. I totally agree. And they, you know, and a couple psychics had told me, it is a super thought, and I never thought about it before, but the time of year where you'll feel your loved ones that have passed more than any time of year is holidays. Your birthdays, Thanksgiving, Christmas, because those were all times for families. So those are times where family members that have passed will more than likely be around you, and you'll probably feel them. Or you'll all of a sudden out of nowhere, and this has probably happened to all of you, you know, you're going around your daily lives and either a thought pops in your head or something on TV sparks a thought or a song, but you start thinking about a certain loved one that has passed away. That is them telling you they're there.
Yep. Well, maybe you smell a certain, like a snack, a perfume that that wasn't there before, but you smell it. And they're like, oh, it reminds me of my grandma, or reminds me of a time when I was with my mom at a Christmas party, and she's wearing that particular perfume.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Your senses can really, it can trigger a memory, and it can take you back to a time when you were younger or, you know, or a happier time, maybe.
Yeah, Jody, tell them about your daughter when she was telling you about when you were young.
Yeah, my daughter does weird things. Well, she started seeing the first weird thing that happened to her. I was like wiping down the dining room table, and she heard something laughing at her. And she came running to me, scared out of her mind. She hates her bedroom since that night, and tells me about the shadow man that walks around her room all the time. And it's the same shadow man that my son always described up there. And but one night, her and I were laying in bed, and I was trying to get her to bed, and I play like on my iPad, like I'll get on YouTube and type in like relaxing music, and I'll play relaxing music, and we'll watch the screen, and it was like the ocean, you know, moving, and she says, she starts telling me this story about my grandma. Okay, she tells me that my grandma got eaten by a shark. Did you know this, Mom? And I was like, grandma got eaten by a shark, you know? And my grandma is dead, and she doesn't remember, but she likes to talk about my grandma a lot. So she says, so do you remember when you were like a little girl and you were really sick and grandma was taking care of you? And I was like, yeah, like about how old was I? And she was like, I think you were about like 3. And I said, what was wrong with me? And she said, you had a really bad fever. And sure enough, like, I was really sick, and they were really worried about me when I was around that age with a really bad, bad fever. And my grandma was taking care of me. So my daughter, and then she started kindergarten this year,
And, like, the second week of school, I went in there, I got her, we were walking out of the building. She ran up to this teacher. She doesn't know her. She's not her teacher. She runs up to the teacher, and she's, like, jumping up and down, and she grabs the lady's arm, and the lady bends down because Haley's, like, you know, ran, I mean, she just ran up to her. And she was like, is Mr. Blah, blah, blah your boyfriend? And the lady just, like, froze and looked up at me. And I was like, well, is she? Is he? And her two friends, the other two teachers, started giggling. And Haley kept jumping up and down and asking, is he your boyfriend? Is he your boyfriend? And so I was just like, Haley, you know what? Come on. You know, because I realized, like, the lady was, like, uncomfortable at this point. And so as I was, you know, I grabbed her and I was walking by. I'm like, I'm sorry, you know. And we were walking by, and the other two ladies looked at me and they go, you have no idea. And I said, so she's right. And the one girl, and then one lady just giggled and smiled and just kind of waved at me and walked in. Because we can't talk about it if they're having a relationship. But my daughter saw, like, right through it. Kind of weird.
Wow, that is weird. That is definitely
interesting. Yeah, she doesn't know these people. You know, mm-hmm. She's just observing them from afar. Pretty much.
Well, what takes me back is the fact that she wasn't even alive. You know, she was talking about you when you were 3 years old, and she told it by detail. You know, how did she know that? You never told her.
And she'll just tell me stuff. She'll be taking a bath, and she'll tell me stuff about her dad. And she'll be like, you know, she'll just tell me a story. About how she feels about a situation or something like that. And I will say, well, how do you know that? And she goes, because I just know things, Mom. Like, just plain as day, like, I just know things, Mom. So that's how she, like, when she tells me weird stories, she just knows things. Okay, Mom? She's very confident in her knowing. And I don't push this on her. You know, I just keep my ears open, and when she's doing it, I just ask questions. She did something else just recently. Oh, she had a really, really bad dream, and she came into my bedroom crying. I heard her running into my room. It woke me up. She got to my bed, and she was crying, and, you know, I helped her get in my bed, and she said, I had a really bad dream, and I cannot talk to you about it right now because it is so bad, Mom, okay? So good night. And she lay there and kind of whimpered, but she would not talk to me about it, and I didn't say anything, and I just told her. And when she got home from school the next day, she came up to me and said, all right, get the camera. Let's talk about my dream. And I actually filmed her telling me all about her dream and how she was in this dream, and there was this creature, and it was chasing her. And when she woke up out of the dream, this thing was, when she opened her eyes, it was over her bed, and she said it was opening and closing her mouth, and then it disappeared. And she even walked into her bedroom to show me exactly where it was standing and how it was standing over her bed. So I have this, like, on film, and I won't put it out there because obviously she's too little, you know what I mean? But, like, it's really bizarre, the things that, because she'll go into detail, everything about it. And I'm, you know, it's like, where is she coming up with this shit?
Yeah. That is, well, last year, I was at my mother-in-law's house. And I was watching TV, and my daughter and my niece were in the other room watching television. And my daughter comes running in into the living room where I was. And she has a
it was like a handprint on her back, the back of her shoulder. It was like a little, almost like a little kid's hand. Big red mark on the back of her shoulder, and both of them swear that they didn't do it. Because I made them, like, look, I was like, if I call someone and this is a fake, I'll look bad. But they swear it wasn't any of them, either of them who did it. And then we weren't able to figure out what had happened to her. I mean, she didn't have any other problems after that. But, I mean, I got a picture of it. I mean, you could tell it was
clear.
Very clear. There was a little, like a handprint, like a little kid's handprint, like probably, no, like an infant size or a toddler size.
Yeah, but it wasn't Mock and Trinity. It wasn't just three, so that I can confirm, too.
Right.
That's crazy.
But I don't know what that's all about.
Oh, it's paranormal.
Speaking of crazy, Joe, do you want to play your ghost box session?
Sure. So I'll tell you the story behind it real quick before we play it. So I didn't really believe in the ghost box, okay? I had this ghost box for a year, and I would play with it every once in a while, more for show, because I was like, this thing's stupid. And I didn't like how loud it was, and I just didn't really believe in it, you know? And because I tried it out plenty. I was doing a event at Rhodes Hall in Atlanta, Georgia. And I was down in this basement all night, and people were just being brought in and moved out and brought in. But there was this one group there, and, you know, it was like the millimeter started going off. You could definitely feel the change in the room, and something was there. And I picked up that, you know, there was something with us, and it didn't like the men in the room. So I asked the guys, I said, hey, you know what, I kind of get a bad feeling about you guys. Like, I don't even like you right now, okay? I was like, so could you do a little bit of, like, provoking and piss this thing off? And so they did, and then I said, do the other men here bother you? And this is what I got.
All right, I press play. It's taking a while for it to decide to play. It's my internet's slow tonight for some reason.
Uh-oh. Okay, I'll go searching for it real quick. But it's pretty interesting, so it'll be interesting to see what you guys have to say. Everybody likes this piece of evidence. It's probably one of the... It's like after this, gates of freaking hell opened up.
It's under Terrify.
Under Terrify. Okay, I'm... Okay. Sorry, we got a lot of crap on here. Yeah, it's okay.
All about that.
Yeah. Ah, here it is. Here we go. Do the other men here bother you?
Is that Jody?
Yeah. Wow. Nope.
Gainesville Massacre.
That can get your attention.
We will skin you alive.
Jody, we heard that one last week with Dennis. That is awesome.
Huh?
We heard that one with, I'm sorry. We heard that one with Dennis last week. He was playing it. That is such an awesome EVP. You can't get any better than that.
Like, that's a class A+.
Yeah.
That's a class AA+.
amazing.
And you know what? Yeah. Since then, I'm telling you, like, my ghost box is freaking crazy. It says some crazy stuff to me. I'll say something, ask it if it wants something. Like, okay, so we're at this place where the janitor was raping children at the school. So I was provoking it, and the girl that kind of, you know, the stomping ground to the girl that's investigated there more than any other woman, she told me, she's like, the ghost box is crazy, Jody. She's like, it's always calling me a whore, a slut. She goes, just go into the principal's office and ask it if it wants a blowjob. I was like, are you serious? And she was like, just do it. And I was like, all right, you know. So I was in there, and, you know, it started calling me names. So I was like, you want a blowjob? And literally my ghost box said, and Kevin, we have to get this on our audio file so that we can play this shit.
All you got to do is send it to my Facebook, and I'll upload it.
Yeah, I you would have to pull it from a YouTube video. It said the sports, the blow job. And I'm scanning AM radio. It's not going to say blow job on the freaking radio. You know?
No. Yeah, I mean, it's like Howard Stern or something. That's not even on regular radio now.
Yeah. Oh, you bring up Howard Stern. Do you know that I was on Howard Stern?
Yeah. Well, here's a question.
Yeah.
Is it like with going through training and trying to debunk evidence and stuff? What about the EVPs or any kind of electronic device that's picking stuff up? Can it pick up other airwaves, like for CB radios or cell phone towers or anything like that? I mean, granted, it's coincidence that you went in and asked it if it wanted a blowjob, and it replied in some way, shape, or form with the same kind of sentence, but
I've never gotten that anywhere else. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But within 10 minutes, it's asking me for a blowjob. You know, that is a really good question, though, if it could be picking up anything else. But, you know, it's an AM, FM radio, so you think it would be on that frequency, and that's all it would be picking up. And then, like, I'm sure that satellite has a different frequency, and they probably don't cross. You know what I'm saying? Because they couldn't. Otherwise, they wouldn't be able to even run.
Well, and you also got to think of this, though, like Skinner Live. When it's scanning, those three words were scanned through, you know, multiple stations in order to get that three words, right? And the same with...
Yeah.
Jody talking about blowjob, it was scanning. So through what it said, it probably scanned through 20, 25 stations, and you get a sentence out of it. So it's kind of hard for you know, it would have to be like a radio or a CB radio. But a lot of people nowadays, except for maybe truckers, they don't use CBs anymore. You know, it's more cell phone towers and that kind of thing. And, you know, maybe I never really come across where we've picked up somebody's cell phone conversation on our ghost bot.
A really funny image just popped into my head. How earlier we were talking about all the technology and stuff that the government has and stuff like that. If they just so happened to pick up on the frequency and one of them decided they wanted to answer, not saying that it happened, I'm just saying it was a funny image that popped into my head.
Right. And
sorry.
You know, we've done experiments where, and you could try this sometime, get one of your friends, and don't say on Facebook or any social network where your team's going for an investigation. And have that person turn, if they're in the paranormal, of course, have them turn on the ghost box when you're at that, when you've arrived at that location, and see if they can find out where you're at. And we've actually done that experiment, and the guy was in Dallas, and we were in Shreveport, Louisiana, and he found out what state we were in, what town we were in, and the name of the house that we were in, and the name of the investigators that were there, all through the ghost box. And he texted to us on our phone. And, I dropped my phone just out of belief. You know, I was like, holy shit, how the fuck did he find all that out, you know? And he got it all through the ghost box.
How did he pull it?
He just turned on his ghost box and would ask, he would establish communication, you know, start to, is anybody right there, can you hear me? And once he was getting responses, then he said, hey, can you tell me where Kevin's team is? And he would just keep asking questions, and he found out all that information, and he would text it to my phone. And I was like, and he had no way of knowing where we were at.
Wow. Now, that's what I was talking to you too about. That is a tremendous theory, and that's awesome. That's one of the other things I've been thinking about and, you know, trying to communicate to the crew about is, and that goes back to, again, our law of us changing the questions up and having a bond with other community groups and other paranormal societies and being able to communicate one-on-one. And, you know, that is a strong point that needs to be made, too, you know, unity among the field. Because this is where we're going to get those positive responses from, you know. When we're in the field, if you look at our Facebook group, you won't see but two investigations that we as a group have done. I don't like to post a lot of evidence. We don't stand on our evidence. But it is a very good point that has to be looked at, that I don't believe that in proper theory that an investigation should be prompt to until after the investigation, and then you could say where you were, because it could be a spoiler for your team if somebody got a hold of it and something could happen. We are actually connected with a company that's called Blade Runner LLC, and they're a quad company. They are a very close friend of mine, and he takes surveys with a quad for us on our investigation location areas. And the reason I ask him to come along, or we subdue him outside, is because my intact is wanting to find all necessary towers, train tracks, you know, where are the police towers, where are the CB towers, if you will, where are the police towers, cell phone towers. I want to know everything about that area before we actually go on that investigation. And because if there is bleeding, because we are using digital recorders, there's always that small possibility that you get a response, and it might not be the response you think it is because you're picking up a digital, digital wave. But if we can mark out where those towers are by using this four-bladed helicopter with a camera on it, I can pinpoint to where it might be happening and say, okay, that's a false lead because you have this here, this here, and this here, and quad A, quad B. You may not be picking up what you think and you're picking up.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And, you know, that's one thing. I love sharing stuff that I've experienced, and Jody does too, because I'm not going to sit here and go, well, I'm just going to keep doing this stuff because I'm getting cool evidence, and then, it's mine, and I don't want to have anybody else do it. Shit, I don't want anybody out there that wants to try some of the stuff I talk about. Try it. Tell me if you get any results, because I want to see, you know, if more people get results, then there's something to it, you know?
Exactly.
You know, I'm not looking for fame and fortune. I'm looking for answers, and the more people that can try doing some of the same things I've come across, and we get the similar results, and the fact that I tell paranormal teams, in completely different states from where I'm at, and if they get the same results, then there's something going on that we need to figure out, you know? And it's crazy, Jody, that you did the deck of cards, you know, because I've always talked about the coin experiment that I did with my ghost box, and then you did the cards and got some crazy results doing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, you got to add stuff. You got to switch it up a bit and have fun with it. And I was just, you know, I happened to be somewhere, and I went to the dollar store. I go to the dollar store and buy an ass load of cheap-ass batteries, you know. And I just was checking out, and I saw a deck of cards, and I was like, oh, maybe I'll play cards with the ghost tonight. So I did. You know, I had time on my hands. I wanted to find out if there was something there, and there was. It came out to me.
And you guys keep doing what you're doing. It sounds like you've got good heads on your shoulders, and you're thinking the right way as far as thinking outside the box, you know?
Definitely.
Yeah, if you want a different answer, you got to ask a different kind of question.
Yeah.
You can't just keep...
Now, we're getting down to the last 3 minutes of the show, so you guys got Facebook page, website, any of those, anything that anybody wants to look you all up, just throw it out there right now.
Sure. You can find us at Wix/AllSeeingParanormal. You can also find us on Facebook at All Seeing Paranormal. You may also find some of my material on YouTube at ASPS-Paranormal. And any of our team members be welcome you know, to speak with you. They would welcome talking with you. We are a dedicated team of scientific and metamorphic people who just want to reach out and help people, basically. I mean, that's where our intent is, to get out there and help those people who really need the help and not hurt them and cause more chaos in their life, because Lord knows there's enough chaos out there. But, yeah, you can find us in a lot of places right now.
Nice.
Y'all got anything coming up the remainder of this year, investigation or events or anything?
At the present time, we really don't. We're kind of taking a little bit of a downtime. We're working on some new theories and some new procedures while we're in the field. We're looking towards a couple of events, but we're actually, you know, those events are not solid yet. So we don't want to give any information out that we really don't have yet. But, you know, at the present time, we're really on a downslide. It's given me a chance to train the new team. I got a group of four that's about to come in that I'm going to be training, and Ryan's going to be helping me train. I got 22 years in the field, and it just helps with me being able to express my knowledge over to the rest of the group. And I just, you know, want to make sure I dedicated everything I know to my team and not spread myself out too thin.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, thanks so much, guys.
Keep in touch with us, and you know, if you guys have anything incredible in the future that you want to share, just reach out and let us know, and you know, we'll get you on, and we'll play your stuff and promote you and anything that you got.
Yeah, it was. Howard, if you want to hit me up, you're more than welcome, you guys, to get with me, and you can come on my Sunday show sometime. I got a couple different hosts and a different kind of audience, and you can come on there and chat with my buddies on there as well. And, yeah, whenever y'all want to come back on this show, just hit me or Jody up, and we'll get you on.
That sounds good. Thank you very much.
Thank you. It was great talking to you guys, and really good luck.
Thanks. It was great talking to y'all, too. Definitely learned a lot from this conversation.
Yeah, go study, you know. The more knowledge you have, and the more you're willing to realize there's not a box and there's not rule book, make up your own, test out your own stuff, you guys are going to do great.
Well, we do, again, appreciate you having us on. I know it's last minute. I'm glad we were able to help out, but I'm glad we had a chance to talk with y'all as well.
Yeah.
Good deal. Yeah, thanks so much for coming in at the last minute, and really appreciate that.
Anytime we can help, we'll be glad to do so.
All right. Well, you guys have a great night.
You too.
Good night.
Y'all have a great one. Thanks again.
Good night.
All right.
Well, they were really nice.
And thank you, Mr. CPR Dennis, one of the hosts of Full Spectrum Radio, for getting me that connection with them today to have them step in, because our original guest, Under the Weather, which I've already rebooked her for another night on this show. But, yeah, worked out great.
Yeah.
And like I told you earlier, Jody, those are the type of people I'd rather interview and talk to more than anything, is the people that are actually out there in the field doing things, you know? And
right.
Not saying that certain people that go to all the events and are kind of like paracelebs don't do anything, but these people actually appreciate what they're doing and what they're trying to do, and they relate. We relate to them, and they relate to us a lot more.
Mhm. Yeah.
So, these kind of people that just like this team here, those are the type of people that need more recognition than others, in my opinion.
Right.
You got us a song, and I got a shit ton of new songs. I just haven't uploaded them yet, but I got a ton on my computer now.
Damn you. Damn you to hell. Well, I guess we're going to go with this, because what the fuck, why not?
All right, good night, everybody.
To give that good to fucking